So last week, with the first week of Lent, Mother Church had us in the gospel going into the desert with Jesus, inviting us to share this 40-day fast, this 40-day journey, where we will be tempted as we seek to purify our lives in preparation for the great celebration of Easter. And here we are, into the second week of our Lenten penances, and I'm sure most of us have already been tested and tempted and maybe even forgotten what we decided to do for this season. So last week we were tempted to go into the desert, the wilderness, and this week Mother Church gives us the opposite experience. She invites us to follow Jesus to the top of the mountain with Peter, James, and John to experience the transfiguration, the fullness of God's manifestation, the glory of the Lord shining on Jesus, shining through Jesus. And she does this as a way of giving us hope. Now, while the temptations and the struggle in the desert is real, so is the transfiguration, so is the glory. This episode of the transfiguration in Matthew's gospel follows directly after Jesus predicting the passion for the first time, and Peter, not being able to accept it, says, "No, that will never happen." And that's when Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking like man and not like God." The disciples, the apostles, couldn't fathom the death of Jesus. And so to give them a little break, we can say that Jesus took them up on the mountain to show them his glorified body, to give them a glimpse of what will the end game be, that the suffering, the death, the persecution, the temptations, the trials that we all face, that we all must take up our cross daily to follow Jesus, these things in our lives are not the end. They will end with the glorification in heaven. And by God's grace, if we persevere well, we will share that glorification. The Lord, Mother Church, gives us this image today to inspire us, to help us persevere through this desert, so that we can continue to purify our lives of all those things that we've allowed to creep in that prevent us from doing what the Father said today, to listen to Him. Only two times in the Gospels do we hear God the Father speak. The first is at the baptism, the second is at the transfiguration, and both times he talks about Jesus being his son in whom he's well pleased. And today at the transfiguration, he adds, "Listen to him." The word for listen in Latin is where we get the word to obey. So we can say that God the Father is telling us to obey Jesus the Son. And so each week and each time we read the Gospels, we're having a little better glimpse into our examination of conscience. The Lord's giving us something else to reflect upon. How well do I obey? How well do I listen? Have I made room for the voice of God in my life? Have I made room for the voice of God in the Scriptures? Have I made room for the voice of God through the teachings of the church? Do I listen and obey? This season of Lent is a beautiful gift to us. This opportunity to fast from all the extras we've allowed to come into our lives, all the other voices that we are better and more readily listening to, all the comforts, all the sin, all the distractions, all those things that prevent us from hearing the voice of God. In the first reading tonight, Abram, a pagan, heard God call and said, go to the place that I will tell you. And the reading ends with, Abram went as the Lord directed him. This is before the promise, before any covenant. This is just a pagan man hearing the voice of the one true God with no clear direction other than to go, and he went. How well do we listen? St. Paul, in the second reading, says, beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. How often do we refuse to listen? How often do we say no to the command of God or the instruction of Mother Church because we don't want to share our hardship? We don't trust in the strength that comes from the gospel. We want to do things our own way. The church can't really be serious about her rules, her laws about marriage and sexual morality, about service to those who are on the peripheries. The church can't really be serious about that. She can't really be serious about her obligation to attend Mass on holy days of obligation and on Sunday. She can't really be serious about this, that, or the other. It's too hard. If the church only knew my life, then she would understand why I don't have to follow. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. We sang in the responsorial song, let your mercy be upon us as we place our trust in you. The strength of the gospel will never come to us if we don't place our trust in him. If we don't allow the Lord to be our everything. The invitation that we've all accepted into discipleship demands that we surrender our lives to Jesus. That's what we encountered last week with the fasting and the temptation of the evil one. And to help us persevere through this trial, through this desert, through these struggles, the Lord gives us the glimpse of eternal glory tonight to let us know that it is worth it. The glory may not come until the end, but it's ours. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. His mercy will be placed upon us as we place our trust in him. Do you trust him? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? This season of Lent is your invitation to let go of whatever you're holding on to, whatever dreams and desires that you think you need. The Lord says, come to me. Surrender. St. Paul went on to tell Timothy that he has called us to a holy life. He has called you to a holy life. He has called you to be a saint. That is your vocation in life, to be a saint, to live the life of perfect charity. Not according to your own works, though, but according to his own designs. And that's where the difficulty comes, is that when we hear the voice, maybe we are like Abram and we've heard him call us, but we're afraid to go. When the apostles saw the transfigured Jesus, they fell back in fear. They fell back in fear. How many times can we say the same for us? How often do we recoil? Do we say, no, not yet? How many times have we clearly heard the voice of the Lord calling us to do something and we brush it off? We say, no, not yet. I put my vocation on hold for 15, 20 years into my early 30s when I decided to say yes. I wasted many years committing many mortal sins trying to run from my vocation. And by God's grace, he saved me. I put my trust in him, his mercy bestowed upon me, and by God's grace, I'm a priest of Jesus Christ today. What's he asking of you? And what are you waiting on to say yes? How many young men in this parish have heard the call to their priesthood, but have been afraid to say no? How many parents know your child has been called to their priesthood or to their religious life, and you're afraid for them to say yes? Abram wasn't afraid. He didn't know where he was going, but he went. There's power waiting for us. We are called to live transfigured lives today. Not only when we get to heaven, but today. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. At our baptism, we're given a white garment to show the newness of life, the fullness of the Spirit that's bestowed upon us. And our parents and our godparents are given the charge to keep that garment clean. The world needs to see transfigured Christians, true disciples, surrender to God's holy will for their life. He has called you to be holy. He has called you to be a saint. Do not be afraid. When Jesus saw the apostles were afraid, he went to them. He touched them. Rise, do not be afraid. Each time we go to confession, Jesus touches you and says, rise, do not be afraid. Each time you receive the Holy Eucharist, Jesus touches you and says, rise, do not be afraid. There's power in these words tonight. There's power in the gospel. In the opening prayer, we said, O God, who have commanded us to listen to your beloved Son, be pleased to nourish us inwardly by your word, so that with spiritual sight made pure, we may rejoice to behold your glory. The power of the word to cleanse us, to give us that pure spiritual sight, so that we can behold the glory of God. In just a few moments, I'm going to hold up the host and say, behold the Lamb of God. Will your heart allow your eyes to see Jesus? When you come up to receive, and the minister says, the body of Christ, do you believe that Jesus is touching you? Saying, do not be afraid, rise. This is the reality that we live every day as Catholics. That through the sacraments, Jesus touches you. And through his power, his grace, he strengthens you to live the holy life to which he has called you. Let it be a reality for you. Surrender to his holy will. Do not delay. Let his mercy be upon you as you place your trust in him. Amen.